traumatic stress in you. I want to start by asking you a question. Do you remember what it was like during COVID? I forget. I mean, it was only a year or two ago, but do you remember the isolation? Particularly if you got COVID. Do you remember what that was like? I remember hearing a story of someone who got COVID and got put in one of the hotel isolations, the ones run by our lovely government. And they were locked in a room for 2 weeks, no human contact. The people who looked after them would leave food outside the door, leave water outside the door. They weren't allowed outside. That was what it was like for some people during COVID. And we all experienced that to some degree or another, being locked away from society. It was not enjoyable, was it? And in our age of medicine and cures, where almost anything can be managed or cured, the isolation that we experienced during COVID gave us a rare insight into something that was just a normal part of life in ancient Israel, the isolation of lepers. And as we turn our attention to this story that's recorded for us in Mark chapter 1 this morning, the first thing we should notice is that the main character in the story, or one of the main characters in the story, is a leper. In verse 40, now a leper came to him. But we need to work out what it means to be a leper before we can really understand this story, because we don't really have this around these days. Well, leprosy in the Bible was a skin disease. It was actually a catch-all term for all sorts of different skin diseases, whereas leprosy today is just one particular type of skin disease. But these skin diseases, called leprosy, were considered uncurable in Bible times, except by an act of God. There was no healing, there was no medicine, there was nothing that could be done. In 2 Kings 5, for instance, there's a famous story of Naaman, a Syrian general who was a leper. And Naaman came to Israel. He heard that there was someone there who might be able to heal him. And so the king of Syria wrote a letter to the king of Israel, sent it with Naaman, and said, "Hey, here's my general Naaman. I want you to heal him." And the king of Israel was aghast. And he said, "What? Am I God that I would heal a leper?" But you see the point? You can't do it. It can't be done. That was what it meant to have leprosy. In fact, he even says, "Am I God to kill and to make alive?" It was that hard to cure a man from leprosy. It was like raising someone from the dead. A leper was a dead man walking. When Miriam, the sister of Moses, was struck with leprosy for having a go at Moses' choice of wife, Aaron responded. She's struck down with leprosy, and Aaron looks at her, Aaron her brother, and he says, "Oh my Lord, let her not be as one who is dead, whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes out of his mother's womb." That's what leprosy was. Someone who is as dead. Someone who can't be cured. But it gets worse. As Steve mentioned, God's law demanded that a leper be thrown out of the community. We read Leviticus 13, verse 45 and 46 earlier in the service, which gives us a glimpse into the life of the leprous man who approached Jesus. This is what his life would have been like. This is verse 45 and verse 46 of Leviticus 13 again. "The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." This is where our experiences during COVID help us understand even more what it was like. But instead of a couple of months or a few weeks, imagine the foreseeable future, an indefinite period of time, possibly the rest of your life, in lifelong isolation. Can you picture the life this man in Mark 1 must have led? Ever since that dreaded white scale appeared on his skin, possibly even from birth, he's been an outcast. His hair is ragged and unkempt. He's unwashed. It's tangled. His clothes are torn. And he walks around with his cloak cast up over his face to cover his lip, crying out when he sees someone, "I'm unclean! I'm unclean!" And if you saw him, you might think from a distance, "Oh, this man looks interesting. I wonder what this is about." But as soon as you heard that cry, "Unclean, unclean," coming down the road, you would quickly turn around and you would head in the other direction. Because if you were to get close to this man, then you too would become unclean. You may even contract the disease yourself, and you would be separated from God and from the people of God. And you see, that gets to another aspect of how bad this was. Because this leprous man wasn't just isolated from people, but he was an Israelite, someone whose very identity centered around the fact that he is the chosen people of God. And he has been given, as one of those chosen people of God, the law of God. And the chosen people of God, Israel, were given the way to worship God. They had the tabernacle and the temple, the very presence of God on earth amongst them. They could go and worship before him, but this man, not him. He was not allowed in their community, and he was absolutely, definitely, absolutely not allowed in the temple. He was barred from the worship of God. Can you imagine that? Well, yes, you can. You've been there. Imagine not being allowed to go to church. This poor leper's life was a living hell. And I mean that. All through the scriptures, the idea of leprosy is linked very closely to spiritual uncleanness. Leprosy is a graphic and shocking picture of sin. Each one of us is infected with a horrible disease. Sin. Sin is disobeying God's commands or failing to obey God's commands. So it's doing what God says not to do, or it's not doing what God says to do. That's what sin is. And God has every right to ask us to do things. He has every right to give us commands. He's our creator. He's our Lord. He has a right to our worship. He has a right to our loyalty and our obedience. But ever since Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, all of Adam's children have been infected with sin. We are born wanting to do our own thing. We are born wanting to set up our own gods. We are born wanting to obey ourselves and make ourselves the God of our life. Even when we hear what God wants us to do, our heart by nature says, "No, I will do something else." And because of this infection, the Bible describes us as being dead. You know, the world often wants to tell us that, well, we're good people, really, but we just do the wrong thing sometimes. You know, I'm good at heart, it's just I make mistakes. Well, the Bible says, no, that's not it at all. We are infected all the way through. We are not good people who sin. We are sinners by nature. Our hearts are totally evil. We cannot help but sin. And that's why every single person in this room here today knows that lying is wrong. You know it. And yet, you're going to walk out of this door, and this week you're going to tell a lie. Because you just can't help it. And just like the leper, our uncleanness because of our sin means that we're thrown out of the presence of God. In our opening passage this morning, we read of Isaiah, who came face to face with the true and living God. It was not an enjoyable experience. I don't know if you have ever thought about what it would be like to meet God. Some people think it'll be, you know, interesting. You might have a good chat. You might have some things to say to God. hey God, why did you do this? Why did you do that? That's not what it will be like. When you come face to face with God, you will be like Isaiah, who was petrified, totally scared, and incredibly aware of his own sin. This is what he says. He cries out when he sees the Lord sitting on his throne and flaming angels surrounding him who are crying out, "Holy, holy, holy to the Lord God of armies. The whole earth displays his glory." Isaiah looks at this and he says, "Woe is me. I am undone." Literally, Isaiah is saying, "I'm a dead man. I'm done for. I can't stay here and live. Why? Because I'm unclean. My lips are unclean." And we know that our lips just speak what our heart wants. So his heart's unclean. "I'm an unclean man," he's saying. "My thoughts are unclean. My deeds are unclean. And here I am in the presence of a perfectly righteous and pure, holy and perfect Creator God. I shouldn't be here. I'm going to die." This is the state of every single one of us. And if you're here this morning and you have not realized that you are a leper spiritually, that you have a sickness, a disease that's infected you from birth, that has cast you out of the presence of God, that will mean that when you stand before God, as each one of us will do one day, you'll be absolutely petrified and deeply aware of your own sin. If you don't realize that that's your position, then that's the first thing you need to realize. It's vitally important for you to understand. In our story, as we read this story of a leper coming to Jesus Christ, we are not these bystanders watching on. We must identify ourselves with the leper. We are the ones who need to come to Jesus. We are the ones who should be seeing how we roam around unclean, unclean. Our life is ragged and torn like the leper's clothes. We leave disaster in our wake. We are full of guilt and shame. And worst of all, we do not belong in the presence of God. But this leper was in a good position because he knew he was a leper. And he knew he needed help. And we must join him. Will you join him? You cannot be helped until you see your uncleanness. But once you see that you're the leper and you see you need help, then we must follow this unclean man, our fellow unclean man, and see what can be done about our state. And so I want you to notice from our story how the leper came to Jesus. Look at our passage in verse 40. "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.'" The leper came to Jesus with a humble, desperate faith. A humble, desperate faith. See how he approached him. He implored Jesus. It's not a dispassionate request. This is not the leper calmly asking Jesus for cleansing. "Hey, Jesus, look, just wondering if I could have a moment. If you're willing, I think you can make me clean." That's not at all what's happening here. This request was passionate and desperate. We see this even more in the leper's posture. Mark wants us to see in our mind's eye this man kneeling, casting himself before Jesus. "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Make me clean." He's not demanding. He's not casual. He doesn't even think that Jesus has to do this. Look at what he actually says. "If you are willing, you can make me clean." They're remarkable words. "If you're willing." Can you see the humility in that statement? "Jesus, you don't have to make me clean. You don't even have to be willing. I can't twist your arm. I deserve nothing. I've got nothing I can give you to make you do what I want. I'm just desperate and needy and unworthy. And then the next word, so full of faith. You can make me clean. What confidence. This is why the leper has gone out of his way to find Jesus in the first place. Because the leper believes, no, he knows that Jesus can make him clean. And you know, there would have been many lepers in Israel who knew they were unclean at this time. But we only see one in this story coming to Jesus. And this word for clean that he uses is very interesting. It's important to note it's not the word for healing. He doesn't say, Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me. He says, he uses the word clean, which relates to spiritual, ceremonial uncleanness. He's saying, I want to come back into the family of God. I want to come back into the presence of God. I want to worship God again. Lord, this disease of mine is hindering me. If you're willing, you can make me clean so I can come back in. He knows Jesus can do this. You are able, Jesus. You're powerful. You can do what the Jewish rabbis consider impossible. Do you know how many healings of leprosy there are in the Bible? Not many. There's one that Naaman from Elisha, he heals him. Miriam, she gets leprosy and God heals her. Apart from that, the only ones you'll find is when Jesus was around. It was impossible. This is what faith is. It is believing that Jesus can save you from your sins. And then coming to him and asking him for forgiveness. Faith is trusting that Jesus is able. You can make me clean. That's a cry of faith. And if you know that you're unclean before God, like this leper, then follow this man's example. Walk with him. No, kneel with him. Come humbly and desperately with faith before Jesus. You cannot be helped if you can't see your own uncleanness. But seeing that you're a sinner isn't enough. You cannot be helped if you don't come to Jesus with a desperate and humble faith. I remember when I was about 16 years old, I grew up in a Christian home. But when I was 16, I started to see my sin for what it was. It wasn't just disobedience to my parents, it was disobedience to God. And I saw that I was unclean. And I tried to clean myself up. You know, that's what you do, right, if you're unclean. You try and clean yourself up. So I tried, desperately, to make myself better. I knew the sins in my life and I thought, you know what, I'm going to get rid of them. And then maybe Jesus will accept me. But I couldn't. Couldn't do it. I found no matter how hard I tried, no matter what strategies I put in place, I could not stop sinning. And it wasn't until I saw that my only hope was Jesus Christ that I followed in the footsteps of this leper. And I remember it clearly. I remember seeing that Jesus is the only way to be saved and that I can't do anything myself. And I begged Jesus. And I even took the posture of this man with my face to the ground. Lord, it was not a fancy prayer. It was a desperate prayer. Lord, save me. And it was not a once thing, you know, a casual, Lord, save me. It was just begging. Have mercy on me. Lord, I can't even give myself repentance. I can't even give myself faith. Lord, give me all that I need. Lord, reach into my life. Save me. That is the cry of faith. That is the only way to be saved. Remember Naaman, who I mentioned, that Syrian general who was a leper. Well, he was not like the leper in our story. He was a proud man. He came to the king of Israel and even to Elisha, the man of God, with many, many gifts. He came with silver and with gold and with changes of clothing, with a great number of people, a big parade. He thought he had something to offer. But you know, when he came to Elisha, that prophet of God, Elisha said, "I'm not interested in any of your gifts. You can't give me anything. You have nothing of value before God." Don't be like Naaman. Don't try and bring your gifts before God. Don't try and bargain with God. Abandon all hope in any other way to be clean. And desperately come with a humble faith to Jesus Christ. Have you done this? Have you followed this leper? You might know that this is what you should do. That's not enough. You need to do it. You need to do it. Cry out to Jesus today. We come now to the second character in our story. Jesus. Look at verse 41 as the camera pans out to show us Jesus' reaction to this unclean, ragged, filthy, diseased man who comes begging at his feet. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." This short description is absolutely shocking and stunningly beautiful. We see Jesus moved with compassion. This is not just an academic compassion. This is not a distanced pity. You know, at times in the city, I've walked around and I've seen homeless people sitting on the side of the road, begging. And I pity them. I look at them and I go, that's sad, you know. But it's a shame to say it, but so often that's a distanced pity. You know, I don't really feel for them. I know it's a bad situation to be in, but I'm not moved inside. I'm distanced, detached, uninvolved. That's not what this is like. Compassion in the Bible, when it says moved with compassion, what that means is his guts were stirred up. He was in anguish, if you like, as he looked at this man. His whole body moved towards him. He felt for this poor leper, really felt for him. And this pity drove him to action. He leant in, reached out his hand, and touched this diseased and unclean man. And this is remarkable. If you're a Jew who knew your Old Testament, you would be just aghast. According to the law of Moses, uncleanness is contagious. In Leviticus chapter 5, particularly verse 3, you can read of how touching an unclean person is an act that brings about guilt to you, that their uncleanness is transferred to you. And so this move of Jesus to reach out his hand and touch an unclean man, a leper, is radical. And in this move, we see that something new is happening here. Something drastically different has broken into this world when Jesus came to earth. Jesus is not able to be defiled by the leper's uncleanness. On the contrary, it is the purity of Christ, the cleanliness of Christ, that is contagious. And then Jesus answers the man with these wonderful words, "I am willing, be cleansed." Just two words in the original, willing, cleansed. And at these words, the leper's life is changed forever. where he was removed from society, where he was unable to come into the temple to worship God, where he had a disease that just would not go away, he's now made clean. Not only physically healed, but ceremonially pure. Here is the greatest news in the world. Every single sinner who ever realizes that they are unclean and guilty before a holy God, who comes to Jesus with a humble and desperate faith, finds Jesus to be just like he is in our story. When you come to Christ, falling on your knees, acknowledging your sin and begging for his mercy, Jesus will look at you with compassion and be so moved that he draws near to you and lays hold of you and says, "I am willing, be cleansed." No one who has come to Jesus for forgiveness and cleansing has ever found him unmoved or unwilling or unable to deal with their sin. Jesus is able and he is willing, so come to him today. Come. Your sin is never too big. Your life isn't too much of a mess. You aren't too unclean. I don't care what you have done. King David murdered a man premeditatedly and committed adultery, and Jesus was able to forgive him. Moses was a murderer. Jacob was a liar and a schemer. I know drug addicts and drug dealers who've come to Jesus and found him willing and able to forgive. There is nothing that should be stopping you. There is nothing that will stop Jesus from saving a humble, desperate sinner who comes to him in faith. If you come to Jesus, you will find that you experience what the leper in our story experienced. Look at him in verse 42. Notice how Mark is wanting you to see how quickly this all happened. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. When you bring your messed up life to Jesus, when you lay your guilt and your vile heart before him, when you say, "Jesus, I've done things my own way, I've ignored you, I've lied, I've lusted, my life is a mess, please cleanse me." When you implore him and beg him and do not leave him alone until he answers, you will rise from your knees forgiven, cleansed. Immediately, as soon as Jesus reaches out his hand, your guilt washed away, your sins forgiven, your uncleanness cleansed, your rotten heart made new. This is freedom. This is joy. This is the greatest joy you can experience in this life. This is what Vivian is publicly declaring has happened to her today. But back in our story, we have not yet reached the end of this event. Something strange happens. I kind of wish it didn't, because I feel like this would be a good spot to end a sermon. But it does. So we must keep going. Look at verse 43. Jesus' tone just drastically changes. And he strictly warned him. That the word basically means snorted in anger. He strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." He gives this command that seems strange to us, and we'll look at that in a moment, and then the leper disobeys. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Before you look at Jesus' command, I just want to note, isn't it fascinating how this man whose destiny was to live in deserted places by himself, by the end of the story, who is it who's in the deserted places? It's almost as if Jesus has taken his place. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. I just want to point out two things about these few verses. Firstly, Jesus sternly warns the cleansed leper, don't tell anyone. Why would Jesus do that? Aren't we meant to go out and tell people about what Jesus has done? Well, this question is answered by considering what Jesus came on earth to do. Why did he come? What was his purpose? It's very simple to answer just by looking at the surrounding verses. In Mark 1:15, we see Jesus start his public ministry with these words. Jesus came to Galilee preaching the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. Repent." Oop, I missed a bit. "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Jesus didn't come with a healing ministry. Mark 1:38 says that as he became more popular because of the miracles he was doing, he says to his disciples, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I've come forth." And then look at Mark chapter 2, verse 5. Some people bring a paralytic man to Jesus. This is the very next miracle that he does. And it's almost like Jesus is going, "Guys, you don't get it yet. You keep bringing me sick people." And he looks at him and he says, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Jesus' mission, his purpose on earth, was to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. The miracles that he did pointed to the fact that he was the Messiah, the one who would bring in the kingdom of God. The point of Jesus' ministry wasn't to heal people. The healing of people was to back up his ministry. And his ministry was to say, "The kingdom of God has come. Your sins can be forgiven. Repent and believe the gospel." When John the Baptist sent messengers to ask Jesus if he was indeed the Messiah who was promised, Jesus says, this is in Matthew 11, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk." This one's interesting. "The lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them." You see what he's saying? "Yes, I am the Messiah because I do these things." The miracles display that Jesus is the one who ushers in the kingdom of heaven. But then Jesus commands the leper to go and see the priest in verse 44. And we read it and it says, "But go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." And we think, "Oh, I don't really know what he's talking about there. Let's not worry about it." That's not what we should do. We should go, "Oh, I'm sure the Bible tells us something about what that looks like." And it does. We read about it in Leviticus chapter 14. An unclean leper who is healed needed to be brought back into the community of God and into fellowship with God. Once a leper was healed, they had to go to the priest and go through a ceremony that would bring them back in to a relationship with God and his people. That ceremony involved killing a bird whose blood would be mixed with living water. Another bird would be dipped into this mixture of water and blood and set free. The leper would then have to shave, remove all their hair, wash their clothes, and wash their body with water. They'd repeat this shaving and washing a week later, and then they would bring three sacrifices to the temple. Can you imagine that moment? You've been excluded from God's community, from his family, from the temple, and here you are. God's saying, "Come, worship before me." And so you bring these three lambs for the first time, maybe even in your life. You bring them to the temple. And at the temple, the three lambs would be slaughtered. The blood of one of them would be smeared on your ear, on your hand, and your foot. Oil would then be set apart and made holy before the Lord, before the leper had that applied to him as well in the same three places. And the priest would declare that you are clean. This ceremony is a picture filled with dramatic symbolism and imagery of what it means to be cleansed from sin and made right with God. But I want you to notice this morning just a few elements. Did you notice the blood the water and the oil. Unclean people need these things. They need to have their sins paid for. That's what the blood does. All sin deserves death, and so sinners must either face death for their sins or have someone else take that death on their behalf. That picture is clear in this ceremony. One bird and three lambs die so that the leper can be declared clean. Unclean people also need to be washed. Our sin defiles us like dirt. It makes us filthy, not on the outside like a leper, but on the inside. We have leprosy of the soul. We need to have our hearts washed clean, like the leper would wash himself with that water. Unclean people also need to be set apart in order to join God's special people. That's what the oil is all about. Oil is used in the Old Testament to take something common and make it into something holy, something special, something used for the worship of God. The cleansed leper had to be set apart as a holy person, separated from the world, to be part of God's family and to worship God. This ceremony that Jesus told the leper to go and do points us to the fact that at this stage in Jesus' ministry, there was something greater that he was still to do in order to see sinners made clean. Sheep and birds and water and oil can't pay for sin and set us apart as God's special people. We need something greater. And when Jesus died on the cross, he shed his blood to pay for our sin. Out of his side flowed blood and water, just like the mixture that the priest made with the blood of the bird. It was Jesus' death that really sets us free and makes us clean. Jesus is a guilt offering, a sin offering, an offering burnt up before God, consumed by his wrath. God is too holy to bear having sin in his presence, and so Jesus took the guilt of sin on himself on the cross. He suffered the anger of God as he hung there, nailed to a crucifix. And all who come to Jesus like that leper, humbly begging him for mercy with faith, that if he's willing, he can make us clean, will be washed in the blood of Christ. They'll have their guilt paid for on the cross. Jesus' blood will cover their sinful uncleanness. And the water and the oil, I think, point us to the work that Christ does in us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so desperately needed by us to deal with our sickness on the inside. We are like the leper, we're the living dead. We need the Holy Spirit to come and remove our old nature, just like the leper shaved his head and washed his clothes and washed himself. We need to be made new. We need to start afresh, to be clean and in relationship with God. This is what Jesus does through his Holy Spirit. He gives people a new heart, a new life. That's what it means to be born again. It's one of the pictures that you see in the baptism. And we need the Holy Spirit to be put on us like the oil so that we might be God's special people, set apart for him. If that could happen, if we could be made holy and clean and new, then we could be brought into God's family, God's household, God's temple. We could be brought into fellowship with God. He could be our God and we could be his. We could enter into his presence without fear of being thrown out. We wouldn't have to be shamefully aware of our uncleanness like Isaiah was. We'd be free to stand before God with the knowledge that we are clean and accepted in his sight. And that is what has happened to anyone who comes to Jesus like this leper. Have you? Have you come to him? Do you see your uncleanness? Will you come humbly, desperately, with faith to Jesus Christ? He is willing and he is able to make you clean. Let's pray.